This conference is being recorded.
Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Bhutamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. All glories to all the devotees who have joined the call this morning. Thank you very much. It's one of the marvels of modern technology that we're able to join together to hear Krishna Katha in different locations all around the country and the world. And there is, as we approach the ocean of bhakti, the closer we get, the more we see that it's unlimited. And just approaching Srila Prabhupada's books, that he has given us a way to enter into that ocean through his literatures. Unbelievably, you know, as English is his second language, he brought this all these writings and the teachings of the Goswamis. He brought the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he brought it practically within our grasp so that we can, on a daily basis, understand the knowledge which is being passed down to us by the Supreme Lord and his associates in such a perfect way. And one of the books that we've just entered into is The Nectar of Devotion. And we started last week speaking about the characteristics of pure devotional service, and that is where Chapter 1 of The Nectar Devotion begins. And we discussed how pure devotional service, well, there's six characteristics. It brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. Pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. And pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. And last week we talked about the first characteristic, or the last session, which was a couple of weeks ago, which is that pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. In that distress is caused because of our involvement in the cycle of sin, which takes place by contact with the material nature. And there are different kinds of sins which are stored up. Some of them are in subtle form and some of them are fully manifest. But it's a diseased condition of life, and until one actually becomes free from the disease completely, he can't become free from distress and suffering. There is no other process which actually frees one completely from the process of sin, and that is even the very desire to commit sin within the heart. That's destroyed by devotional service. The very intention is destroyed by pure devotional service. And when that is destroyed, then the entire cycle becomes finished. And that's related to the next item of devotional service being the beginning of all auspiciousness. Because as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanva mohanir mukta bhajanti mam dridavrita, that until one has actually become free from the process of sinful reaction, then he cannot be firmly situated in devotional service. And one who's situated in devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, will invoke a verse which has been given to us by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, which explains that those who are not engaged in devotional service must certainly be riding on the chariot of the mind, and therefore they're subjected to all kinds of suggestions from the mind, which is conducted by the modes of material nature. This is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu, that the living entity who's subjected to the association of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, is also subjected to the ups and downs of material life. And when I say it like that, ups and downs, it doesn't sound that severe, but actually it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes our existence in the material world and our attempt at having any kind of life here, or our experience of happiness, as being like a person who is held on a board and then plunged underneath the water. And as soon as he's about to expire, then his captors bring him up above the water until he can get a breath of air. And when he breathes in, then he thinks, I'm experiencing happiness or pleasure. But it's just some temporary relief from the intense suffering of the material world. It's not actual happiness. So this is what's available through association with the three modes of material nature, and what I've subjected myself to by that kind of association, and therefore the distress goes on. And until one's free from that sangha of the three modes of material nature by associating with Krishna and his pure devotees through the process of bhakti, then I cannot become free from that sangha of the three modes of material nature, and thus I'll suffer over and over again. Sarasad yoni janmasu, the good and bad of material life. So the distress factor, which comes from our involvement in the material world, is destroyed by bhakti, by devotional service. And as we brought out last week from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devahuti has exalted the position of devotional service and said that even those from a very low position, if they engage in hearing and chanting about the Lord, then they immediately become freed from the sinful desires and the causes for distress in the material world. And so devotional service is so powerful. Shukadev Goswami also says, Kirata hunanda pulinda pulkasha abhirashumba yavana kasadaya yene cha papa yara pashraya shraya shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave namaha. Because it is coming from the power of Lord Vishnu that anyone from any position of life can become purified and can come to the highest stage of devotional service. So unless one's freed from that process, then to experience auspiciousness in life is very difficult. Therefore, there are different stages of devotional service. Rupa Goswami has included these, and it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the process or the stages of advancement in devotional service. Dao shada tata sadusanga tabajana kriya tato narta nivritti set tato nishta ruchis tata. And in of our devotional service, beginning with faith, and then progressing to the practice of devotional service, as we come into the association of devotees and we become engaged in devotional service in a very serious way through initiation, then we'll pass through the stage of unsteady practice in devotional service. There'll be ups and downs in our devotional service. But still, even in that stage, we'll begin to experience that we're becoming free from distress, from material life. And when one comes to the position of steadiness in one's practice, it's called nishta, then particularly at that stage, then we experience freedom from all suffering, and there's a manifestation of all auspicious qualities within our life. This happens naturally for the devotee engaged in devotional service. There's a famous verse in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchanar, Sarvar Gunas Tatra Samasate Sura, Harava Bhaktasa Kuto Mahadguna, Manona Tenasati Davato Bahi. In this verse, it is stated that by engaging in devotional service, naturally the devotee develops all the good qualities of the higher beings. They come out. Whereas if someone is very expert, for instance, in some academic pursuit or some other mundane expertise, that person is subjected to the chariot of the mind. It means that the good qualities don't naturally come out, but he may maintain a semblance of good qualities for some time, but he'll be overcome again by bad qualities because he's on the mental platform. But the devotee actually is becoming fully purified, and therefore the natural good qualities of the soul come out from the devotee. And from this, there's a description of what all auspiciousness means in the life of a devotee by Rupa Goswami. And he says that auspiciousness, the definition is that it must benefit everyone. If one has all auspicious qualities, he must do good to everyone. And this is the first. The second is that it also must attract everyone. And all auspiciousness produces good qualities. And related to that is that if one is developing these good qualities, then it will bestow superior happiness in life. So devotional service alone benefits everyone in society. This is the first point that Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion makes. Other kinds of activities, for instance, Prabhupada mentions the United Nations. People come together to try to make some kind of solution to the problems of life and to make some cooperative effort and to agree to not kill each other, for instance. But the result is temporary and flickering. And ultimately, because there's a difference of opinion based on the bodily conception of life, there'll be no agreement. And also, those who try to make stopgap measures to benefit everyone ultimately, because of being on the bodily conception of life, they'll help some people and not others. For instance, sometimes people claim to be humanitarians, but at the same time, they don't care for the animals. They don't consider killing animals to be a harmful activity. They don't see that actually there's a soul within the body of the animals as well. But for a devotee, naturally develops a vision, vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani shuni chaiva shopakecha pandita samadarshina. It becomes the most learned person, a learned person as described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is one who sees that there's a soul within every body, whether it's in a body of a dog, an elephant, a dog eater, an outcast, and therefore he treats everyone with respect and actually is having darshan of the soul. This is practical. When devotees go to preach Krishna consciousness and they have this vision, then it's possible for them to actually be equal to people and to benefit everyone that they come in contact with. The whole process of Samkirtan is beneficial to everybody in the world. The devotee shows kindness to every living entity. First of all, a devotee is seeing the soul. He's not seeing the body. Therefore, we notice how, for instance, when Srila Prabhupada came, he traveled all over the world, and he met people on every continent, and every one of them was, every place that he went, was able to take up Krishna consciousness because his teachings were so universal and so beneficial to everyone that people could pick them up and begin practicing, whether they're from China or Fiji or Mexico or India or all over America. People from all walks of life pick them up. And this happens because the devotee, whose vision is that each person is a soul, is marveling in the fact that and seeing how the soul is actually suffering here in the material world, and he treats everyone with kindness. It's important to always remember how amazing the soul is, and that the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, ascharyavat pashti kashchidenam. He uses this word, ascharyavat, that the soul is amazing. And it is amazing. I was sitting talking to a devotee yesterday, and just I began to think of this verse while I was sitting and speaking to the devotee, and thinking, how is it that I'm conscious, he's conscious, and somehow we have separate consciousness, and we can converse with each other. He has his own impetus and desires, and above all, both of us and all the other living entities, the Lord is maintaining everyone. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, ekobahunam, yoviditati kaman. It's amazing. The soul can look out and see the world and make his own determination. And he's a part and parcel of Krishna. He has some volition, and he's sentient. So a devotee who's developing a Krishna consciousness is developing this kind of vision and appreciating all kinds of living entities. A devotee who develops good qualities, for instance, the Magrari, the hunter, is given as an example in the description of the Atmarama verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is that even a low-born hunter like Magrari, one day when Narada Muni was walking in the forest, he saw that some animals were being half-killed and left on the footpath, and they were writhing in pain. So as he was walking by, he noticed all this and wanted to find the source. So he saw this hunter further off in the forest, and he went off to meet with him. And the hunter, whose name was Magrari, the great killer of animals, became disturbed when he saw Narada Muni coming through the forest because it was scaring away the other animals. And when he met him, he said, oh, I'm, I know you're a saintly person, so why are you ruining my livelihood by scaring away all the animals? And Narada Muni said, well, I came to speak to you about this because I saw that you're half-killing these animals and leaving them by the footpath, and why are you doing this? And Megrahi said, well, this is how my father has taught me. This is my lifestyle. Is there something wrong with this? And Narada Muni told him that it's better if you fully kill the animals and don't leave them to suffer in pain. Otherwise, you're going to have to suffer in your next life. And by the association of Narada Muni and by his instruction, Megrahi began, his heart changed, and he became concerned about his lifestyle and wanted to take the instruction of Narada. So he inquired further. Narada Muni told him that you should take to the life of devotional service. And to begin, you should break your bow. And Megrahi said, that's my livelihood, my bow. If I break that, then I won't have anything. And Narada Muni said, don't worry. Just by doing that, I'll make sure that you get everything that you need. So Megrahi followed his instruction, broke his bow, and Narada Muni made sure that all the people in the town understood that Megrahi and his wife had now sat down and became Vaishnavas, and people from all over began to come and bring them all kinds of goods, more than they could possibly use. They had to turn them away. And he became a gentle soul. And later on, when Narada Muni came back with one of his associates to visit his disciple, Megrahi, excited to see his spiritual master in the distance, got up and was coming towards him. But on the footpath, he was avoiding stepping on ants, because now he had this feeling in his heart that he didn't want to hurt even one ant. And therefore, he was avoiding stepping where they were. And this story is given to show that even those with very bad qualities, when they come in contact with a pure devotee and begin the process of devotional service, develop all good qualities. And one of those qualities is that they benefit everyone. And they move in the world in such a way that they do benefit to everyone. Naturally, devotional service is good for everyone. Even the animals and the living entities. Haridas Thakur had, in a discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mentioned how devotees, because of the vibration they make of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they benefit even the lower living entities, like the plants and the trees and the living entities who are flying in the air. Everyone who hears the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra gets great benefit. Therefore, it's all auspicious. It benefits everyone. And what to speak of human beings? Rupa Goswami mentions, Yadabhaso pyujan kavalita vibhavo drishan tatvandhanam apitishati pakti pranayanim, that the devotees, when they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, affect the hearts of even those who are completely blind to the truth, and awaken bhakti within them. The holy name is so powerful. And the devotees, while they're performing devotional service, that's their main business, to broadcast the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went through the Jarikanda forest, invoked even the animals to dance and chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada mentions that we may not be so powerful to be able to get the animals to chant and dance Hare Krishna, but definitely the human beings can take to this and become freed from all suffering by taking to devotional service. So this is one of the first qualities of auspiciousness, is that it benefits everyone. And a second quality is that it attracts everyone. It's attractive to all kinds of people. It's not something sectarian. It's universal. Anyone, anywhere in the world, when they see good qualities in people, in devotees, and when they witness the beauty of the Sankirtan, they become attracted. It's a common sight here when we have our Harinam Sankirtan in downtown Palo Alto, that people walk by and we notice that they become attracted, especially children. When they're coming by, children naturally, because they don't have this sense of false ego that, well, maybe I shouldn't be watching this, or, you know, what might happen, they stop and they become mesmerized by it. And some of them want to dance. We had an experience a couple of years ago. A woman came by with her child, and the child just started dancing. She was a three-year-old. And the parent wanted to go after about 20 minutes, but the child wouldn't go, wanted to stay and watch the kirtan. And people have become naturally attracted to devotional service and the good qualities of devotees. This is one of the aspects of auspiciousness. And then devotional service is auspicious in that it produces all good qualities. Just by performing devotional service, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and carefully associating with Krishna through his names and performing the other activities of devotional service, then naturally, Nitya Siddha Krishna Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kara Udoi, naturally by this vibration, by association with Krishna, who's there also within our heart, we become purified of any of the bad qualities. And this is because Krishna helps us within the heart. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know the famous verse, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam, which means that because Krishna is there within the heart, when we hear and chant, which are the first two processes of devotional service, then Krishna is pleased by that vibration, and he helps from within the heart to take away any obstacles and any of our bad qualities. Without his help, it's impossible to do. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions how, in this context, Krishna is the killer of many kinds of demons. In Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, one after another, Krishna kills demons like Putana and Pakasura and Kamsa. And similarly, the bad qualities that I've acquired by my association since time immemorial in the material world can also be killed by allowing Krishna within my heart to do his work. He's Hari. Hari means he who takes away all misery and all bad qualities. So when I chant, when I perform my devotional service, I need to open my heart and ask Krishna, please take away these bad qualities. If I am surrendered in that way, and I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and simultaneously pray to Krishna to please take away any material attachments that I have from within the core of my heart, then naturally Krishna will do his work, and he will take away those bad qualities. Incidentally, even if I don't pray like that, by contact with devotional service, several shastras it's mentioned, if I take the devotional service, but later on I decide, well, maybe I'll do something else, I'll come back to materialistic life, and I make a go of it, still Krishna will forcibly drag me back to devotional service. He'll make arrangements to frustrate my endeavor for happiness within the material world and bring me back to devotional service. So better that I do it on my own, that I develop this mentality that devotional service is so powerful that I can develop all good qualities, which means no material desires within my heart, only the desire for favorable service to Krishna. But it goes a lot quicker if I actually surrender and open my heart and ask Krishna to help. Giriraj Maharaj has told a story about how a young man in Delhi was helping Prabhupada to translate his books into Hindi. And this young man had a father who also used to come and visit Prabhupada when the young man would come for instruction about the translation that he was doing. And the father had a bad habit of smoking, and he was having a hard time giving it up. So at one point, he mentioned it to Prabhupada, and he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, to give up this bad habit, I need your special mercy." And Prabhupada commented that, yes, you can get special mercy, but that means that Krishna will make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. Or you can do it on your own and decide to give it up yourself. So this is one of the amazing aspects of devotional service, that by good association and by gradually advancing in the process of devotional service, I can actually develop this desire and prayer to please remove all the material desires within my heart and please let all good qualities prevail. And once I have this momentum, then I'm coming to the safe side of devotional service, that I'm actually praying to Krishna, as Prahlad Maharaj did when he was offered benediction by Lord Nrsimhadev. He offered him everything, and Prahlad kept refusing. He said, "No, I'm not a merchant. I'm not performing devotional service for any other reason except to please you." And the Lord said, "Take a benediction. I give benedictions. Please take one." So finally, Prahlad said, "If I'll ask for any benediction, that is, please, from within the core of my heart, let there be no material desires at all." So even to form this prayer means that one is developing good qualities. And this creates all auspiciousness in life. This Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita how one becomes completely peaceful in this situation. Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudramapa pravishanti adva. He says that we're like an ocean when we develop this kind of mentality, that I'm not going to be a kamakami, tavat kamakami. A kamakami means that when desires come, I chase after them. And I think, oh, I need this, I need that, and I have to maintain them in order to maintain my life. There's this sense of that we get from this offense to the holy name we hear regularly when we recite the 10 offenses, that maintaining material desires, even after understanding so many instructions on the matter, it's almost funny to hear that, because even after understanding so many instructions on the matter, how it's harmful to me, I still want to hang on to it. Some of the acharyas describe this as willingly drinking poison. Why do I do that? Why would I do that to maintain material desires, even after understanding so many instructions on the matter? And so to be able to have the power to be able to pray, to give up that material desire, to notice that it's there and to ask Krishna to please come and remove this. This is one of the great auspicious qualities of devotional service, that I can do this, that I can develop these good qualities by allowing Krishna to enter and to take them away. So by performing devotional service, we will develop good qualities. And there will be a process that we go through, which includes our voluntary desire, asking Krishna, please take these things away. But that's only possible by devotional service. Through other kinds of processes of yoga, meditation, when I'm thinking that I'm doing it on my own, that it's by my own volition that I can become purified, I don't get such help from Krishna. Only by devotional service, therefore, do we fully develop these good qualities, and with no trace of any other kind of desire. There are other kinds of processes described by Rupa Goswami, for instance, mystic yoga, where one may become enamored of his own ability to control the powers of nature, and therefore he gets distracted from this pure devotional service. And any other kind of endeavor for perfection where I'm relying on my own strength will not be complete. But devotional service is all auspicious because I'm depending on Krishna, and Krishna is all-powerful, and he can come and take away those material desires. There were there's a story of two policemen in Mathura, and one of them said to the other, it's ironic that we're policemen and we're going around protecting householders from thieves, but the name of our God is Hari, which means one who takes away. He's a thief. He's also known as Mukhanchor. And the other policeman said, yes, but that's our greatest benefit, because just as householders, they put up high walls and locks in order to protect all their goods, so similarly around our hearts, we also put up these high walls and lock them very carefully so that the material desires can stay there. But Krishna is so expert at taking them away, he can actually scale those walls and go through the locks and take away our material desires. So developing all good qualities through devotional service, we need to expose ourselves every day, regularly, nityam bhagavata sevaya, to the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the association of devotees, and to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, listening very carefully. And we can add this prayer that please take away any kind of obstacles to my devotional service, and that includes the material desires within my heart for staying in the material world, for trying to enjoy the material world. Then very quickly we'll develop all good qualities. A person in such consciousness is a friend to everyone and does only that which is beneficial to others in the world. And this is the great need in the world today for great saintly people, those who have this idea only to benefit others, to give them the highest benefit in life. So this is the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It's to develop these good qualities and then to help others develop them by spreading Krishna consciousness and the direct process of devotional service. We could argue that this is the most important activity in the world, pure devotional service. And therefore, bringing it to the essential point, if I consider how to make my life better, how to make the world better, that is to purify the vibration, to take to pure devotional service. If it's in my home, then the way to make your home all auspicious is to make sure that the pure vibration of devotional service, of the chanting of the Bhagavatam and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is going on there on a regular basis. Nothing else will help. I may try to make a happy household by making arrangements in many different ways, but nothing will be effective unless the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam is going on in the association of pure devotees. And extending outward to any institution, including a country, a nation, the worldwide scene, it's all dependent on this pure devotional service. Whatever is within the heart of a person gets manifest outwardly. And when there are dirty things within the heart, one cannot do good to anyone. In fact, one most likely does harm to those he comes in contact with. The society, the way it's developed now, practically, there's such an exploitative mentality. Even the earth is being plundered, forests are being cut down, rivers are being polluted. Why? Why is that necessary? There's some drive within the heart of a materialistic person to exploit all the resources of material nature, not caring for other living entities. But when someone develops the good qualities of through the process of devotional service, he no longer wants to exploit the planet Earth. He walks softly wherever he goes. He's very careful about how he treats other living entities. Therefore, pure devotional service is the panacea for the world, and it must be propagated. We must make this vibration available to people all over the world by distributing literature, can read about it, by showing people through cultural presentations of how to integrate the singing of the Hare Krishna mantra into their life, in prayer, how to chant the Lord's names repeatedly and pray for this kind of purification within the heart. Then everyone, anywhere in the world, no matter who they are, whether they're a human being, a bug, an animal, will become benefited. And this is also within our own society, the ISKCON society. We must always be conscious of the fact that our ability to spread Krishna consciousness comes from purity. Prabhupada said, purity is the force. And therefore, in our own individual lives and communities and families, we should concentrate on this point of cultivating this kind of practice for purification of myself, of my own heart, of my own material desires. Then everything I do will be beneficial to others. It will attract everyone. After all, someone can get up and give an erudite speech in any walk of life. But what really attracts people, even if someone's not erudite, is if they're pure. And that comes out in their speech. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when someone who's pure in heart, has no motive within their heart, speaks, there's an effect like no other. In fact, it poetically it's described how the speech of such a person who doesn't have material motives within their heart is like the vibration actually touches the lotus feet of Krishna. In other words, that person is associating with Krishna because he has no material desires, and therefore the vibration mixes with the saffron particles on Krishna's lotus feet. And when the vibration comes out, it's mixed. It has a certain quality. It's mixed with this nectar from Krishna's lotus feet. And when it enters the ears of others, then they become affected like nothing else. Even if one doesn't speak the language perfectly, if one is pure, then that message becomes powerful. So purity is the force. It's not a matter of our erudition. It's not a matter of our great learning, although devotees become greatly learned just by practicing devotional service and learning the tenets of devotional service. So, first, quality of devotional service, one becomes free from all distress. Second is that all auspiciousness blooms within the life of the devotee, and it spreads outward to everyone around the devotee and around the whole world. Just like one very fragrant flower can scent a whole forest. So similarly, someone who's developed this quality of purity in devotional service can affect the whole world. And we've seen it. We've seen it. One person who has this impetus to serve Krishna purely can affect the whole world. So this is the great need of the day, of the hour, of the minute, of the second. Always go towards this purity. All auspiciousness will come, and we can learn one aspect of devotional service eternally. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Are there questions or comments? Loka? I think Loka needs to unmute. Is anybody else off mute right now? I don't know if Loka's still on the call. He might have lost his signal.
I'm off on mute, Cody.
Oh, is this Veda Vid?
No, just Nitin.
Oh, Nitin. Okay, thank you for joining.
All right.
So, does anybody have any comments they'd like to add or some question? Okay, I'm not sure if Lok is still on.
Haribol Prabhu, yeah, my line got disconnected at the second.
Okay. Are the devotees off mute?
They can unmute themselves. Let me unmute everybody.
Okay.
Okay, now everybody's unmuted.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I have one question, Rakshit speaking, and this is that it's very auspicious to hear about the power of devotional service, but we also have a situation in the world where the force of Maya seems to be so great that we may have right now few people in the practice of devotional service, and one may ask that how is the influence of Maya, which is attracting souls towards the material desires, to be overcome or addressed?
Well, Lord Brahma describes how Maya is a shadow of Krishna. So on the masthead, the logo for the Back to Godhead magazine, Srila Prabhupada gives the verse, just as where there's sunshine, where the sun is there, there's no darkness. So similarly, wherever Krishna is present, there's no Maya. Maya is simply the shadow reflection. This shadow effect when Krishna is ignored. So, wherever Krishna is present, Maya can't stand. And definitely the power of Maya is very strong, especially for those who are weak. Prabhupada once said to a devotee who said, well, Maya is very strong. He said, well, it's not that Maya is so strong, it's that you are weak. In that case, that's what he said. And he gave the example that just as if you are, you have a hygienic regimen and you keep yourself fit and healthy and you have good nourishment, then even if there's some epidemic going on, you won't fall sick. So similarly with Maya, if I'm strong in my Krishna consciousness and my regimen of Krishna consciousness, then I won't be affected by Maya. So the solution is always the same. As Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda once, I wasn't privy to the letter Jayananda wrote to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada wrote an answer to Jayananda saying, the answer is the same old thing, he said, chanting Hare Krishna. So there's one solution, and that is Krishna consciousness, and that is to develop that Krishna consciousness. There are periods in the world when sometimes the demons become more prominent over the demigods due to the force of the modes of material nature, and there's great upheaval in the world. Just like now in Kali Yuga, very difficult situation. But still, devotional service will prevail. So as we go on propagating Krishna consciousness, the sincere souls, those who are fortunate, they'll become attracted to Krishna consciousness, and they'll take it up.
Thank you.
Done. Another question?
Yeah, please accept the respectful obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai, Hare Krishna.
I had a question on the story that you told about the devotee's father who had trouble giving up smoking, and
yes,
he to Prabhupada that he was looking for Krishna's mercy, and Prabhupada said that if you ask mercy, it might come to you in a very, very strong way. So how do you overcome that fear? I mean, I know that sometimes Krishna makes things very difficult for you in life, and they are for your own scared of, you know, going into that. So how to overcome that fear?
Well, the fear is of what?
The fear is that if I ask for Krishna's mercy on certain things, I might have to give up. My life might become more difficult, which in the long run will be good. How to take that plunge?
Oh, yes. Well, one thing is by good association. Because when we have good association, we actually see the living benefits of devotional service. When we see devotees who have surrendered and who are giving up other things, and we see they're not lacking anything, then we realize that, well, what am I waiting for? There's a power to this kind of association that we don't get anywhere else when you actually see devotees. They're not suffering. They're actually becoming free from all suffering. We become intelligent by seeing good devotees because we see, look it, they're completely surrendered and now they're happy. They're completely surrendered and now their life's all auspicious. And then we also want to surrender too. That's one of the benefits of keeping good association, of seeing how the surrendered souls are actually living auspicious life. And then also, you know, that fear that I have to give up some material thing, that may be there in the beginning, but Krishna can help us by gradually. In other words, we can begin gradually by saying, Krishna, I'm afraid of this, so please take away the fear. And we can start praying from a few feet out, meaning, I want to give up this material desire, but I'm afraid to give it up, so please let me give up the fear. And Krishna can show us how to do that also. We also have to pray very hard. So pray hard, and pray from wherever you can start praying, and also keep good association. Keep association with those who are surrendered and are in deeply into the surrendering process, and notice how their life is becoming all auspicious. And then you'll also become inspired that there's nothing to fear and all to gain. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
That'll help.
Okay. Anyone else? Question? Yeah, somebody's in a wind tunnel or is breathing very heavily into the phone, so if you can be aware of the fact that you might either have wind or loud breath making a lot of noise. Another question?
Hello, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Kishore here.
Kishore, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
In one example that you gave, like a person who is plunged into the water and then you bring him up and he feels relief. So the happiness and distress are like that in this material world. I was just thinking, a person, a mundane person and a devotee may get similar instances of, you know, unhappy situations, like for example may undergo an accident or may face financial problem or may lose job, or so all these things are considered distressful for a material person. Similarly, they could happen for a, you know, devotee also. So, I mean, when we say devotional frees us from all distress, is it just like our thinking gets changed, or the conditions themselves stop happening? Or because distress is after all related to body, because we feel something displeasure to the body, we feel that it's stress. So
yes, yeah. So no, the things don't stop happening necessarily. What happens? The mentality completely changes. The devotee, as you know, the verse Tatenu Kampam Sisimikshamanu Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. The devotee's heart changes, And that's a big deal. The whole universe changes. In fact, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he goes as far as to say that the pure devotee sees even the material world, the whole world, he sees as the abode of joy. How is that when Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is saying, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, it's a place of misery, but the devotee sees it as a place, the abode of happiness, in one sense. And that's because his heart has melted in Krishna consciousness. And now, yes, his mentality has changed. So it's not that things don't keep happening. They do. It's the nature of the material world. It's constantly being churned. It's an unsteady place. And so the changes take place, but the devotee sees them in a different way because he's taken shelter of Krishna. He's not taking shelter of the temporary. The temporary is called, described by Shukadeva Goswami, Deha Patra Kalatradeshu Atmasaini Sasatsapi Tesham Pramatunidanam Pashyanapina Pashyati. That person who's taken shelter of the material body and all of its byproducts. He thinks, my body, my family, my money, my nation, they'll all protect me. I saw a sign yesterday when I was driving to the temple. It's on a huge sign on someone's wall, and it's got a picture of the American flag, and it says, these colors don't run. And I was thinking, what is the mentality of the person who paid to have that sign put up? That they're so nationalistic and they're thinking, my country, I'm so proud of it, you know, protect me. So when someone has that mentality that of taking shelter of some material idea, then they suffer like anything because there's no shelter there. This is called, Shukadeva Goswami says, they're fallible soldiers, and one will be startled to realize that they're not protecting me. But when one takes shelter of Krishna, then he's feeling full satisfaction even in the midst of all the changes of the material world. Queen Kunti actually is relishing when the changes are going on because now she's taking deeper shelter of Krishna. Vipara santita shasvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. She's getting Krishna's darshan even as the most horrendous things are happening in her life. It's making her remember Krishna more. And, you know, the devotee becomes so attached to Krishna that any situation that comes, adverse situation that makes him or her take more shelter of Krishna, he relishes. So the same things are happening. The material world is churning, but the devotee has a completely different perspective. And actually, it's not just a change of perspective. Krishna is acting differently in the life of the devotee in the sense that he becomes actively involved because the devotee invites him to become involved in his life. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, everyone follows my path in all respects. And if someone surrenders to Krishna particularly, then Krishna says, I particularly take charge of that devotee. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshasninapriya. In that verse, he mentions how he's equal to everyone, but someone who's surrendered to him, Krishna particularly takes an interest. It's natural. So same things happen, but the devotee is taking it in a completely different way and is actually protected and is even in some sense embracing these changes. For instance, Maharaj Parikshit, when he was cursed by Sringi, it's an outrageous thing to happen, a little boy cursing this great king who's a Maharishi. And the king, he could have become really angry or retaliated, or he could have even repudiated the curse. He had such power, but he didn't do it. He took it, rather, as Krishna's hand in his life. He said, I wouldn't have come out of this dark well of family life unless Krishna took me out. He's so kind. His heart was completely different from a materialist who would sue the boy. He would get a lawsuit going against him and his family. So the devotee, his heart has changed, and he's not affected. And the changes that go on in the material body, although the devotee is within the body, the material body, he's not affected. he doesn't naiva kinshit karomiti yukto manyeta tatvavit pashan shrinban spishan jigran ashnan gashan shapan shosan palapan vishinan grinan unmishan nimishan api indriyan indriyateshu vartanta iti darayam. Description of the devotee, even though the movements of the material body are going on, he doesn't identify with them. He notices them, but he's not identifying with them at all. So that the happiness, the pleasure that come from the material senses and from the changes that go on thereof, he's not involved with that anymore. He's become unglued from that material connection and is off into a different realm, and that's the realm of devotional service in Goloka Vrindavan. He can actually live in this world, but at the same time be living in the spiritual world by his connection to Krishna. Is that okay, Kishore?
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. That
Hare Krishna. Jai.
Vaishya Sika Prabhu, this is Pundramalini.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo Prabhu. My question is, maybe it's a little bit twofold. I see that as we, struggle to engage in devotional service, we see so much lacking. And although maybe when we start out we're hopeful and enthusiastic that we'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime, maybe it's going to take a while. We pray for the mercy and we try our best, but there's so much lacking. So we think maybe it will take, I don't know how many lifetimes. But I want to hear your point of view on that. And then the other side of it is, for some of our children, you were saying how Krishna drags us back if we don't want to go voluntarily. And so for some of the children, maybe the parents were lacking so much they weren't able to really give them a nice taste of Krishna consciousness. They went to Gurukula and had different experiences, and they've left. We've seen so many kids who were born in the movement who have gone. And do you have any idea of what kind of position they're in, because they were born in the movement? They didn't necessarily make the same commitment that others who have come have made. That does Krishna treat them the same way, or,
Okay, well, you've asked me this two big questions, two separate ones. And the first one, remind me just...
The first one is just about how... we came, we heard
right.
Prabhupada, and he was saying it, so, you can go back to Godhead in this life, but then the reality sets in, and we wonder how long it really is going to take.
Yeah, okay, well, that's such a nice question. Just that, of course, there's a couple of examples of that. When you make ghee, it looks like one thing when you start. And then when you put it under the heat, put it over the heat, and the impurities start to come off, and you scrape them off, and then there's more impurities come up, more and more and more and more and more. So when we first take the devotional service, it looks like one thing, just bliss. And then as we start to work and do our process, then so many impurities come out, and there's a process that we have to go through of removing them one after another and being vigilant. And similarly, when we clean a house or a room, at first it doesn't look that bad, but when you start getting behind everything, then you want to change everything, change the blinds and paint the place, because you notice everything more. And there is a sense of that in devotional service. As we continue, however, there's also a feeling, as Lord Chaitanya has expressed, in the Shikshashtakam, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va, jagadisha, kamaye. Mama janmani, janmani, shvare, bhavatad, bhaktira, hai, tuki, twai. He's saying that that he doesn't even want liberation anymore. He becomes so satisfied with the process. There's an example of this. There's a Vyasa Puja offering that just came out. It's on the dandavats.com by Indra Dumnaswamy. And you can note the mentality of a devotee who's become very advanced in his Vyasa Puja offering, because he's saying how he's asking Prabhupada to please allow him to go on just serving in the Sankirtan movement life after life. This is his desire, mama janmani janmani shvare. He doesn't even, he's not considering liberation. He's so happy, so satisfied with the service itself that these other kinds of considerations have diminished. As we, you know, advance in devotional service, then the very consideration becomes diminished for liberation or, you know, going back to Godhead and such, because we will feel this happiness in devotional service and a complete satisfaction in our service. And the second question about, you know, there's all kinds of living entities now coming to the Krishna consciousness movement. Even we see, you know, just coming to ISKCON. And there are waves of living entities who come in. Like, I remember in the 1970s, we couldn't get any devotees from India to join ISKCON. There was one, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and I think he might have been from Canada. But, you know, Indians weren't taking to it, and now Indians everywhere, as was the request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have taken up the Sankirtan movement in a very big way. And in America, for some time, there were lots and lots of people coming. And now in other countries, they're coming. So how Krishna sends different kinds of living entities to join the Krishna consciousness movement is a bit of a mystery. We do know from the Bhagavatam that even demigods, as is stated in the Bhagavatam, are praying to take birth. They'll give up the balance of their pious credits in the heavenly planets so they can take birth on Bhardvarsha. And also, it's mentioned by Karabhadrana Muni that they desire to take birth especially so they can participate in the Krishna consciousness movement. So my point is, different kinds of living entities come and join the Krishna consciousness movement and take birth here for different reasons and from different backgrounds, and it's very hard to tell how they're coming in and where they're coming in from, although you can notice that, you know, people, there are souls coming here who are very advanced just from the beginning, and some other souls may be taking it up from another position. So groups of devotees who have come or taken birth in the movement, it's a little bit of a mystery exactly where they've come from and why they've taken to it or not taken to it. But Srila Prabhupada mentions in his Light of the Bhagavat about how this lifetime is a Chaturmasya-like existence. And the example is this. During Chaturmasya, devotees sit down for 4 months and perform austerities and go into, you know, deep study. And traditionally, everyone used to do that. They'd stop everything during that rainy season. And he said that they don't realize the results of that until they actually walk out from the place that they've been sitting for the last 4 months, and then they'll realize the power of their austerities. So similarly, Prabhupada says, we may not realize the results of everything we've done in devotional service until the end of our life, even when we're leaving this body, when they're leaving this existence. So similarly, all kinds of people like who have taken birth as our children and those who are our parents who are exposed to devotional service through that, we may also not see the result of their exposure to devotional service until they leave the body. A lot of times it comes to bear at the time of transition, leaving the body, of how advanced they've actually become in devotional service. The action behind that, we should go on with our own devotional service because a dead paramedic can't save anyone. We can lament about others taking it or not taking it, but ultimately I have to take it fully myself because it's the only way that I can ultimately help anyone else completely in devotional service. And from a perspective of a purified devotee, then I can have more of a vision and help people one by one, individually, in whatever way I can to take the devotional service, whether they took birth as my children or they're my parents or anybody else in the world. That's sort of a general answer, but
Helpful, though.
Okay,
thank
good.
You very much.
All right. Loka, we should probably wrap up. Hare Krishna. Well, I can't hear Loka now, which is whenever I can't hear Loka Dyaksha Prabhu's voice, I become very morose. But in any case, it's been a pleasure being connected with all of you this morning and talking about the Nectar Devotion and pure devotional service, and I thank you very much for your Sangha. We'll be announcing the next class, which is coming up probably in a couple of weeks, so you can look for it on the announcement. And in the meantime, please accept my most humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripasanabhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavyebhyo namo namaha. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the process of devotional service, and all glories to all the devotees present on the call today. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhupada.